Hello and welcome to Not Quite Hollywood Podcasts. I'm August.
I'm Jamie.
I'm John.
And we are here to talk about our film topics. I'm just going to decide that I'm going to go first. Because mine's kind of relevant to our communal movie that we had talked about previously this week, Hard to Be a God. Mm-hmm. And then my topic kind of goes around about the director, Aleksej German. And just his dedication to film. His son even said that like 99% of his father's life was film. He didn't talk about soccer. He didn't talk about cars. He just talked about film. Aleksej German, he's Russian. He was alive during Soviet Russian times. So there was a lot of suppression of the common people and art. Anything that was created could only be seen as painting Soviet Russia as heroes. And so pretty much all of his film, actually every single one of his film, faced some kind of suppression or problem in creating it. The first film that he did, The Seventh Companion, he co-directed it with Grigory Aronov. And he has said that it was disheartening. It was just a horrible experience because these were two people with two different views trying to direct one movie. He did his first solo movie, and when it was released, it upset the Soviet Committee of Cinematography, and they shelved his movie for 15 years. Hmm. His first film. So what does Aleksej German do? He makes another one. And that film gets banned for, I can't remember how many years, but it got banned. Oh, it got banned, but then someone stepped in and was able to kind of get it released. His film after that, it took him about 8 years, to make another one, and, it got banned for 3 years by Soviet Russia.
Why didn't he move out of Russia?
Probably money. Well, and probably one of the things is that he probably didn't feel like he had as much ability to do what he wanted to do. I think it was called Lenafilm was the production company that he was under. And, I mean, I guess they just kind of said, hey, make whatever you want.
Which makes me wonder how many films Russia was banned in.
Oh, tons, probably.
Most of them. Then why even have a film industry?
To
propaganda?
Yeah.
Propaganda?
Battleship Potemkin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All propaganda. Then it took him 7 years to make his next movie. I don't think it faced any problems. I think it was actually able to be released, and I think it's known as the best film he's made. And then we've got Hard to Be a God. Mm-hmm. Apparently had been gestating for him in his mind for about 15 years. And it took him 6 years to make it because he was in and out of the hospital. And so they would have to stop production. And his son described it that his father would be sent to the hospital and he would be there with an IV drip, being there for a couple weeks to be monitored. Then he'd be let out, and as soon as he was let out, he's immediately back to making Hard to Be a God. And he passed away before they could have it all edited in 2013. And now we are able to watch this movie. And I just have full appreciation for that dedication. I mean, I was thinking about it the other day. Look at Josh Whedon.
Yeah.
He had a bunch of people just give him shit on Twitter, and so he completely just stepped away from everything. Yeah. And just this makes hearing the story of Leske German is just like, really, Josh Whedon?
Yeah.
You're a bit of a bitch. Like, your life isn't that hard.
Yeah.
You still made $1 million, you know.
Yeah.
Dry up your tears with a few thousand dollars. Mm. Not every single one of your films was banned by your country. I mean, I can't think of anyone else that's really kind of been that dedicated and faced so much opposition.
Yeah, but you're equating first world problems to, like, this fucking dour, like, regime taking your stuff and shutting it down. I mean, that's different.
Well, yeah. No, it's not. Well, I mean, yes, it is different. But it makes these, yeah, this first world problem seem a lot more shallow.
Sure.
Someone on the internet that you don't have, a face to put it the words to, who doesn't look at you and say, no, you can't have your movie released, and stop it from releasing. And you're going to bitch about that and be all upset. I'm just throwing a lot of shit at Joss Whedon right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, that's what I would do. I would cancel my Twitter. I'm like, fuck these people. Who gives a shit? But, yeah. I mean, he maybe didn't even know who Leske German was. Fuck it.
Well, fuck, no one knows who Leske German is, probably.
Because of Russia.
Exactly. Because one of the main reasons... One of the main reasons why his films were all banned is because he was claimed deheroizing of Soviet Russia.
Hmm.
Because he was expressing his viewpoint and how he saw Russia. Think about how us Americans, what we associate Russia with. Going around conquering countries whenever they want to. Their people are known as, you know, being chaotic, drunks, running their cars into each other and always having dash cams with Europop blaring.
It's true.
See?
It's like seeing YouTube.
Oleski German was like, this is the way these people are. This is what my homeland's like.
Mm-hmm.
And Russia was like, you're gonna show that. We gotta show the world that we're the best. And we're a glorious country.
Wait, how long has Putin been in office? Like a decade or two? Half, 15 years? Because he essentially continued this trend. If he could. I mean, what was the last film before Hard to Be God? So he started in 2000 with this production of this film.
On this film, yes.
The Soviet Union had fallen a long time before that.
Yeah, he had made a few films afterwards.
That came out.
Yes, okay. After Putin's death.
Okay, that's good.
It's hard because his career spanned 4 decades.
And he has, like, what, 6 films?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Putin's only been prime minister since 2008.
Okay.
So that might be why it was a little bit easier. Man. Oh, man. So, yeah, that's my topic. I didn't know if you guys had anything else to add to that. And, you know.
Well, since you've introduced us to Hard to Be God, I'd like to see his other works now, especially in light of the knowledge that he had these films banned. Like, I'd like to piece together, like, what the Soviet government thought was so harming or damning about these films that they had to ban them.
Well, you gotta think it's... They're going to be practically like the MPAA.
Mm-hmm.
Every little thing that they can think that's going to be considered bad or wrong,
sure.
They're going to jump on it.
But it'd be cool to see in that light. Like,
oh, yeah.
And not only that, but just that's why I think you're right. Earlier, last episode, you said about Hard to Be God being almost making fun of that or exacerbating that to this level where there's no art allowed, there's no music allowed.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of
critiquing
cool.
It.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, is like in Hard to Be a God, they all wear like old German get up and clothing. They speak Russian. This is practically Russia in the Middle Ages.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you did very well. It was just straight up saying, this is what we're like, guys. And we're being censored to where we can't, you know, show it. We're being stuck as serfs.
We can't blow snot in peace.
Yeah, Russia.
Not at all. It's bullshit.
Well, no, you can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
There's nothing to do in Russia but blow snot.
Yeah, exactly.
I amended my statement. I want to talk about, I want to speak about Hard to Be a God's, my favorite part is the genre mixing in it.
Okay.
If you're...
Okay. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done. It just kind of seemed like I just talked all about, hey, this is this guy's life. This is how he got movies made. Jamie's taking pictures of cats over here and texting it to his side piece.
Break the fourth wall. No, I am doing it for the Facebook page that no one uses.
I'm going to strangle a bird. Because there's a bird chirping. I don't know if it's going to get picked up.
It may get picked up.
Back on track.
Okay, John, stop it. Yes. All right. Genre mixing.
Genre mixing. Which is what I loved about Hard to Be a God, the whole sci-fi, medieval fantasy setting.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think about...
Is it fantasy?
Well...
I think it's both.
I think it might be both. Maybe not fantasy. When I say fantasy, I mean the medieval fucking swords and shit.
Well, I mean, but that wasn't fantasy, though.
Well, so. What's the genre called?
It's the medieval. Like,
just medieval genre?
Well, maybe medieval history. But see, because when I think fantasy, you know, I don't want people to think that Hard to Be a God has dragons.
There's
and
dragons
goblins
in it.
And
it's like historical sci-fi.
Yeah.
Like, historical sci-fi on another planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Genre mixing.
Genre mixing.
Yes, it made me think of films that have done genre mixing very well. And I got a few I want to talk about, but if you guys think of any, just chime in. And I'm going to do the first one, just right off the bat, it's the most obvious one, is From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
Now, if you take From Dusk Till Dawn, and you sit it with somebody who's never seen a trailer, has no idea what the movie is, and they start watching it, what are they going to think the movie is? Like a heist movie?
Yeah,
like a breakout of prison break kind of?
Like a chase movie.
Which then very quickly turns into vampires and supernatural and all this shit.
I went in that exact
way. Are you serious? Yep. Yeah, I didn't. I seen the trailers and everything for it, so I knew what was coming.
No, I was catching up on it. I'm like, oh, it's a Rodriguez film. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like Clooney and Tarantino. Mm. Oh, I thought I heard of vampires in it, but I guess not. Maybe it's the wrong movie. And then I'm like, holy shit. This is a completely halfway through. Just like...
Just switches over.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, it could have continued as the original, the first part of the movie, and I would have been fine because I was highly entertained
by just
Clooney and Tarantino in the chase thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the vampire stuff is cool, too.
Yep. So. Titty Twister.
Cheech Marin.
Yep.
Tom Savini.
Yeah.
Sex Machine.
Yeah.
He had the best revolver. Pistol Dick. That was so cool.
Pistol Dick. Love it.
It's a little small, but...
Ooh. Savini! It's like Candyman. Savini.
But is that why Savini rhymes with Tiny Peeny?
Sure.
You tell that to his face.
Yeah, he's a fucking sex machine. He'll kill you.
Sex machine. Kill you with sex. Anywho. I chose that one at first because it's the most blatantly obvious genre mixing. District 9.
Hmm.
Okay, you might think is straight up sci-fi.
No.
Political commentary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the transition from the documentary style to full-on sci-fi like action fest.
Okay, yeah.
Is so subtle, if you're not paying attention, you don't even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're watching it, it's a full-on documentary.
Yep.
And then, but where did you notice where...
I mean, it's shot that way.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Until a certain point. Yeah. Now, are you guys aware which point it is that all of a sudden it's not a documentary?
When he turns to an alien.
When he first starts showing signs.
At his birthday.
And it's, like, seamless.
Yeah.
You're going from, obviously, a man with a camera talking to people to all of a sudden you're... And you don't even notice. Like, when I was watching it the first time, I was just sitting there like, wait a minute, when did this go from documentary to an action movie? Which I thought was really clever. I thought that Neil Blomkamp pull that off really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My third movie, and it's a little more subtle, and I scoured the internet and I can't find anyone that has the same theory that I have, is that Nicholas Winding Refn's Drive, the car, it's actually has supernatural elements to it.
What?
The car is supernatural.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't know this.
No, we talked he told
about
me a theory.
It.
Oh, yeah, damn it.
But I'm
going to
tell you my theory,
before.
Because I watched Drive again recently.
Okay.
When he gets shot with a shotgun in that hotel room, he goes and Bryan Cranston's character pulls out, or the doctor, whoever it was, pulls the bullets out, or the the pellets. He's sitting in his car after, for an extended period of time, talking to Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
Later on, when he takes out Ron Perlman's character,
yeah,
he's chasing him down in his car, right? He smashes the side of Ron Perlman's car so hard that it goes flipping over an edge down to the ocean. There are blatant shots of that car after with its headlights still on, no damage to the front of the car. And Nicholas Winding Refn too good a director to not point out that front of that car would have been damaged. And I remember when I showed this film to my father, that was the first thing he said was, why is that car not damaged? It just smashed into that side of the other one. I believe he purposely left that shot in with it up on the hill with the headlights to show that this car is more than a car.
It's like Christine.
Something. There's something about the car.
Yeah.
Later on, towards the end of the movie, when he gets stabbed, and you see him go back to his car, sit in his car, and you think he's going to bleed to death, and he's laying there, and you look like he's dying. All of a sudden, he just pops up, wakes up, starts the car, and just starts driving.
Restorative powers.
My theory, yes, is that the car has supernatural restorative powers, and that he's sort of like a, what's the word? Like, not a herald, but a...
Harbinger?
Harbinger. He's some kind of...
Vessel?
Vessel or something for the car.
Proxy embodiment.
Okay. No, have you recently... or have you heard recently what Nicholas Winding Refn said Drive was?
No.
It was a homoerotic love affair between him and Ryan Gosling.
Ah, that's not what he meant as the genre of the film.
Well, but I'm just like putting that... Yeah, yes. He's even said that he shoots things like pornography. He's a pornographer.
That still doesn't mean the car wasn't supernatural.
Okay, I know. I'm saying it could still be supernatural, but I'm putting it in like context of what he says the film was.
Okay.
In what fucking way is he saying, I want to fuck Ryan Gosling in this movie? I mean, I guess the shots of him, like, make him look like a badass, like, he's, like, sexy, but I don't get...
It's Winding Refn, right?
Yeah.
That's not the point. The point I was to make is, if he said that this is a homoerotic love affair between him and Ryan Gosling...
Uh-huh.
And this car has restorative powers. And cars, you know, usually get that Freudian theory thrown onto them that it is seen as a penis.
Yeah. Okay. An extension of the penis. Okay.
As an extension of the penis.
Or a replacement of
masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So it's a
Ryan Gosling is restored by the power of the penis.
Hmm.
All right.
That is where we get homoerotic love. You know, if you really
I had a really cool theory, and now it's ruined.
How is that?
Now,
you got a homophobe.
No, now I'm thinking of Ryan Gosling naked. Thanks a lot.
I know. I don't have
now
a problem.
Now I'm Googling
with that.
Ryan Gosling naked.
I feel emasculated next to him.
He's don't so worry, beautiful. There's no pictures up. I already checked, John. Sometimes I can't sleep at night. So now I just have to picture Ryan Gosling naked in my mind.
But, okay.
Okay, but. Okay, go ahead.
Back on to genre.
I was going to say, like, there are a couple standard, or I guess more common genre mixings, like comedy, horror. I think those kinds have started earlier on. Like, first thing I thought of, honestly, when you said it was Gremlins. It's like a holiday film, it's a comedy, it's a horror.
Okay.
Especially the first one. And that kind of has been a pretty common genre mix. It's almost become its own, it is its own genre, comedy, horror now.
Yeah.
Where it's own thing, but...
The one that I automatically thought of was the 70s action political thriller Winter Soldier.
It's not even like... You think I'm going to like get mad or something?
No, I'm just like, I love pointing that out, that people think that movie is a 70s action political thriller. Like, you fucking kidding
it's
me?
In the vein of that genre. They're trying to pay homage to that. But one of the movies that I thought you were referring to, I remember say it was All the President's Men or something like that. The conversation where it was a little more like spy oriented, but
comedy horror, Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah,
Shaun of the Dead. Yes,
one of the best genre mixes.
Hot Fuzz action comedy.
Hot Fuzz, yeah.
Then
World's End is alien invasion. Sci-fi comedy
and buddy movie.
Yeah,
friends movies. Yeah.
I'd say all of his movies are buddy movies, really. Yeah.
Another pretty typical mixture is like horror thriller. Those lines get blurred a lot now.
I really wouldn't say that genre mixing though. I feel.
Well, there's like
horror thriller because they're both in the same vein, you know.
Well, there used to be like a demarcation between those two things. Like horror was like more violent, more bloody, I guess, and then thrillers were more like, you know, he's in the house kind of shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
but now it's kind of the same thing. Suspense. Yeah,
I feel like suspense is different because they're more of like drama, you know, suspense.
What's wrong?
Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Yeah,
I feel like that could be considered like a suspense.
Yeah,
film.
But also espionage, right? Is there a spy in it? The title, I haven't seen it yet. So
then
they're all spies.
Really, what's considered as genre mixing then?
Hard to Be God.
Well, no, I mean like the types of genres, because we've got subgenres. That's why, like,
yeah,
horror thriller. That could seem like a subgenre.
Could we consider something that's like a straight up gore fest? Would that be considered horror? Because I was gonna talk about it this week, but I switched my movie. Was Bone Tomahawk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was like straight up western / horror, which is really cool.
Horror. Because
they pulled it off amazing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Those genres you'll start hearing become their own thing. Or like they'll always say like genre bending, like when they do reviews of it or some shit like that.
So it could be just seen as like just buzzword.
Well, there's something.
People will be like, oh, this is new and interesting because it's mixing genres.
But there's something to it. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just a buzzword. It's something to.
But you think they can use as a buzzword?
There's something to it. Yeah, of course they're going to use it as a buzzword when they can. But,
Well, I think, like, when I think of genre mixing, that's why earlier some of the examples I used, not like blatant, like a blatant comedy horror or blatant, you know,
myth.
Sci-fi horror or something. Like Alien would be like sci-fi horror. But more that it's woven into the film. Like Hard to Be a God, the sci-fi elements are woven in there in a way that you almost don't see them.
Exactly.
That's why I use like Drive as an example, was if you're not paying attention, my theory anyway, was that there's something with this car and it goes beyond just what seems like normal, not normal everyday life, but there's something beyond what was going on with that character, the driver, in that car.
So the genre mixing would be, you know, supernatural, homoerotic pornography.
There we go.
Sounds good.
I'm pretty sure Revan would be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it, yeah. So, if we're going to talk about genre mixing, I feel like we're going to have to talk about the most, you know, apparently director who mixes the most genres, and that's Quentin Tarantino.
Sure.
Now, really, does he mix genres? And I'm not saying if encompassing his whole entire filmography. I'm thinking about these films by themselves. Do they mix genres? Because I was thinking Kill Bill seems like a genre mixer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's split into two movies. And one is like a kung fu samurai film, and the second one is a western.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So, but those movies are separate, so I don't feel like you can consider those as genre mixing.
But I don't know. I don't even know if those count as, like, to me, Tarantino has developed his own genre. He pays homage to so many different genres and types of films that it becomes. I mean. I guess it depends on how broad of a genre are you looking at. Like, obviously there's, like, action, comedy, horror.
Yeah.
Or then you start going to all these subgenres. Yeah, like, comedy, horror, or, like, kung fu action, kung fu adventure. Like, adventure and action have always been, to me, one of those things that are really close. But it's hard to really...
super close.
It's hard to pick apart hit Tarantino's style because, like I said, he's doing such specific homages to these different films of these different subgenres of action or kung fu that it becomes really hard. I mean, genres have always been weird to me in general. It just becomes hard to pick them apart at that point.
Yeah.
I would just call Kill Bill an action movie. And then if somebody said they didn't know Tarantino, I'm like, here's a fucking list of movies to watch. Get started. You know, like, you can't describe it if someone didn't know going in what the fuck Tarantino was about.
Yeah.
Like, Django and Hateful Eight are more like old Western.
Django.
God damn it. Django. But he called Django the Southern, because it was more about the 1800s in the South. So, that, you know, that's cool.
That was a good distinction, too, because just because you're like a cowboy on a horse doesn't mean it's a Western.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And by saying that, that alone made a statement about what the film was going to be about without having to say much.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head, and I know there's some where there are movies that throughout the whole movie you thought you were watching one genre, and then at the end something was revealed that it was something else. I'm trying to...
I mean, you guys hate me for this, I'm sure. What am I... The Village.
Well, there's more than just that that I hate you for.
You hate me for a lot, but the Village was one of those. You think it's an old-timey, like, time period film, and it's really just kind of like a... It's almost more of like a drama at the end, because it's not a... I guess it's not a thrill. It's a thriller mixed with, like, a... It's not sci-fi.
I just want you to know I like The Village.
You do? Thank God, because I...
We got some bonding going on.
Oh, come on.
It's probably my favorite... My favorite behind Sixth Sense, honestly.
Oh, well, I mean...
Unbreakable is amazing, too, but I'm saying, like, I love Village a lot.
I'll make you hate me now.
Okay, go ahead.
I love The Happening.
No, you said you did before. I've already got over that one.
I don't know that.
Because you said it was a good B-movie.
It is. It's... People are like, but it's so bad, it's funny. And it's like, okay, you like... What, Troll 2... The Room, you watch that, and be like, oh, it's so horrible, it's funny, I love this movie. But you throw on Happening, you'd be like, oh, this is a shitty movie. And it's like, it's the same as The Room. And I would honestly say that The Happening is more tolerable than The Room.
It's well made, comparatively.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, I think, just the same thing against The Village. It was a mismarketing. They were marketing you to get in your ass in the seat, but then... They set you up for one thing, and it's completely something else.
You know what? People who... Oh, gosh, we're going to get into The Village. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But this is a gripe that I have. I've had several people say that they were able to call the twist of The Village right away. And I'm like, no, you fucking didn't.
Most people, I don't think, is
they're just saying that.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way you can call that shit.
What they do is they throw a whole bunch of fucking spaghetti at the wall and...
Well, yeah.
And, that's one of the things I thought of. One of the 25 possibilities...
Yeah, they probably thought of it.
Yeah.
But there was nothing that they were watching that made them make the connection.
Because there's no clues in that movie that directly point that these people are from a different time.
Not really. No.
I mean, the only thing you could say is that they don't speak like that they do in The Witch.
Yeah, but that's 1800 versus 1600. That's different, you know?
Well, yeah, but still, they're going to still have that kind of lingo. But then again, you know, back then, you know, we really didn't jerk our dicks over, you know, historical accuracy, so...
Sure.
You know, honestly, when I watched it, it was just being like, oh, they're saying it's this period, or it looks like this period. I don't care if they don't talk like that. They're just doing it for the audience sake. Yeah. That's my gripe about The Village. And
I have another one that kind of, like, jumps around and in a fun way, and I don't think you guys have seen it. I mean, John might have seen it. It's called Stay Tuned. With John Ritter.
Oh, yes.
And Pam Dauber. Like, two TV stars. It's kind of ironic. But they jump around different, like, genres as a point of the plot. Like, they're stuck in TV. It's a... I don't want to get into it, but I love that movie. It's, like, that kind of, like, B-movie-ish. It's more comedy than anything else, but the comedy's not, like, that good. But it's, like, the parodies of the TV shows they talk about, or movies they talk about. It's pretty fun.
I'm trying to think of some, like, actual, you know, genre mixers. I really can't. Like, one that popped in my head, you know, obviously I thought of my favorite movie, Punch Drunk Love. It's a drama and comedy, but it's like, is that really genre mixing? Because we have so many... A lot of films have a lot of different elements to it. Like, if it's billed as a drama... There's still going to be comedy within it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a comedy, unfortunately nowadays, there's always going to be romance in it. There's always going to be some kind of love interest.
No romantic comedies.
Yeah.
I mean, those are obvious. They've been around forever, but...
Well, I guess I haven't seen Popstar, so I don't know if there's... Or Anchorman. I know the first one there is... There's a love interest.
I think that's more of just a comedy.
Like,
that's,
okay, okay. Because even that's funny. The love interest stuff is even done in a funny way.
Step Brothers is romantic comedy. That's some bro serious comedy. Freaking bro love right there. That's the only movie of his I can stand.
Well, I think when you were talking about like Punch Drunk Love, where there's drama and comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I would look at like a film like that and say, it's just reality.
Yeah.
It's almost... People have dramatic times. Just look at how you are throughout your day. You're probably going to go through some drama. You're going to go through some maybe some anger or something. You're going to laugh at something. You're going to... You know, so... Like, taking a comedy or dramedy, sometimes I have a hard time if it's just straight this or straight that, because it's like,
Well, it's like action comedy. A lot of movies... Unless they're probably Steven Seagal movies, they probably don't have comedy. Or they probably all have comedy in them.
I have two to posit here. What about Big Fish?
What are you depositing?
To posit.
Oh, to posit here. Oh, I thought you said depositing.
Big Fish is like fantastical, but it's more... It's like... It's like almost like a retelling of a realistic story. Like, you're kind of like wondering if it's really fantasy or not. I mean, at the end, they kind of like allude to the fantasy side, but I love that.
Okay. Fantasy drama.
It's a fantasy adventure, but it has drama too. You know what I mean? Because it's
that's where it gets hard, yeah. Because
yeah.
A key component of adventures have a drama.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Every movie should have something of like comedic and dramatic. Like, those are like the initial, like, the old mass, like comedy and drama. Like, they have to be a balance between them. You can't have straight something.
Yeah.
And then the other one, which is more straight drama, but it's a thriller, and it's sci-fi, is one of my favorite movies in the past 10 years. Definitely the past 5 years. Under the Skin. Have you seen that film?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That is such a great sci-fi movie, but it's a thriller. It's like really like awkward in a way. It's dramatic. You're trying to like, you're going through this character's journey. I don't know. It's hard to piece that. It's definitely a harder
psychological
theory?
Sorry,
yeah.
Psychological thriller?
Sci-fi, too.
Sci-fi, yeah. Sci-fi, psychological thriller.
It's a cool movie.
Very surprising, yeah. When it just, like, gets to the point where you're just following Scarlett Johansson around, it's just like, wow, boy, I did not expect that from the premise it sets up. I'm like, oh, I'm probably just going to see her kill more and more people. One's going to go bad, one's going to run away, and it's going to get worse. But, no. Kind of like a character study of an alien.
Yep.
Prometheus, is that?
I don't know. I've heard sci-fi.
Ridley Scott say it's like a existential horror.
That's such a weird thing to call it. It's definitely not a horror.
That's existential horror.
Well, that makes sense. Okay. Like, where do we come from? Like, the question. Like,
Yeah.
I don't think it's explored enough, though.
Saying, like, God wants you dead. I'm just basing it off of what he has said.
I'd be more inclined to believe that kind of approach if it didn't feel more like blockbuster Hollywood.
Yeah.
I think his original Alien felt more like a good mixture of what you think is science fiction, but it's actually a slasher horror flick.
Okay.
So sci-fi horror. Event Horizon?
Event Horizon.
Yep.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, Jesus.
Talk about bad Jesus. CGI.
You want to talk about a bad movie.
Yeah, I didn't like that movie at all.
I see a lot of people just being like, oh, Event Horizon, it's so great, it's so wonderful. And I watched it, and I was like, okay, let's be... I realize it's going to be, 90s, it's not going to be that great. Yeah. And I watched it, and I was just like, Even people said, oh, gosh, that dreams or that nightmare sequence.
Yeah.
So horrifying and terrible. And I was just like, seen worse. But
yeah. Anyway.
Genre mixing is hard, I feel.
It's a hard thing to pinpoint,
What is considered.
It's either blatant or it's subtle.
Yeah.
It makes it, the whole idea of genre mixing goes well on my topic because...
What is your topic?
My topic, I don't think I told you, either one of you.
No, you didn't.
No, what's your topic?
Good. My topic is a couple weeks ago, we talked about the bad side of theaters. Like the, lack of snacks, the fucking commercials in the front, how stupid they are. But I wanted to know, what does it take for you guys to go to the theaters? Like, is there a hard like fast rule, if this happens, I'm going to the theater. Like, what in your mind justifies a theater experience? What type of film?
Knight of Cups.
So, like, you follow certain directors?
For me, like, any new movie that comes out, and honestly, like, any old film, even if I have watched it before, if I look like it's going to be a really good cinematic experience, mm-hmm. where I'm going to have a huge-ass screen, it's going to be complete pitch black, and for the most part, it's going to be extremely quiet. Mm-hmm. Amazing surround sound, audio. Then I want to go see it. If it's Independence Day Resurgence, I really don't want to watch that in theater because I really don't care about it. So I guess that it has... I have to see something in it to where it's like, I want to see that huge. Mm-hmm. I want to be encompassed by that movie.
Very similar mindset. Like, I'll follow directors. Mm-hmm. I'll follow even some actors. Mm-hmm. But it really has to be something that I want to see in the theater. And I want to see a big screen. I want the theater experience. I want the popcorn and the soda.
Yeah.
You know, and all that.
Because you don't go to the theaters often.
I don't go often. I've been going a lot more lately because there's been more films coming out that I want to see. Mm-hmm. Like, I think last summer I only saw 2 movies in the theater.
Wow.
That was Mad Max, Fury Road, and I think it was Age of Ultron. Mm. But there was nothing out that I was living in Fort Kent. You know what I mean? I didn't have many options unless I wanted to drive like 2 hours round trip.
But yeah, like the best and the worst of that year.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the best movie and the most disappointed movie, I'd say. But I don't know. I mean, I get disappointed a lot because a lot of the movies that I want to see don't come out in theaters.
Yeah.
And they're not around. Mm-hmm.
Around here, yeah. You get limited releases.
Limited releases, or it's something that's coming out video on demand. It'll just go straight to a rental. I used to love it when I was in Portland, Maine, because Nickelodeon Cinemas in Portland, Maine would play older films and things that I always wanted to see in a theater and never had a chance to. So I got to see Monty Python and the Holy Grail in the theater. It was amazing. Also, some foreign films... like Brotherhood of the Wolf, I think we talked about before.
Yep.
I got to see it there because they were willing to play it there. It wasn't playing anywhere else. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going to play in the popular movie chain.
Oh, gosh, no.
At all. So that's usually, yeah. I'm a little more... I know we gripe on you for being like a hipster.
Yeah.
About movies. Yeah. I mean, I'm a little looser on what I'll go see than August, but...
Did you hear that, guys? John's pretty loose.
But I'm not as loose as Jamie.
that's very true.
This is why I brought it up, because... To me, the theater experience is so encompassing. That's why I like it. That's why if I could, literally, I would go once a week, every week. If there was something I was even remotely interested in, this is why I'm like, part of the reason why I'm going to see Ghostbusters, right? We'll talk about that in a couple weeks when it comes out. But,
we've already talked enough about it.
See, wait, is that going to line up with you forcing us to watch?
Fuck. No.
No, I'm next time, so it's not going to happen, but unfortunately.
I will...
Oh, man, we haven't done a theater one yet.
No, we haven't.
Ooh,
no.
Maybe the next round.
No.
But no,
I will torrent that shit on.
Okay, fine, however you watch it.
I'll watch the first one, Ghostbusters.
Yeah?
And then I'll talk about that one while you guys talk about this new Ghostbusters.
Be really confusing.
It counts. It counts. They're both called Ghostbusters.
I'll say 2016 if you want me to be an asshole. I'll go to the T.
Fuck off.
Anyway, to me, I like that you spoke about Independence Day. Like, to me, like, those movies were made for the theaters. Loud, dumb fun, 2 hours, and get out of the house for a couple hours and not think about things. But then I also love going to see, like, you know, I watched Demolition this year. I watched Midnight Special. You know, those kinds of films it's more like, I want to get immersed into this character study or this slow dramatic film. And I'm also a big fan of watching older films. Like, not that it was a theater, but I watched Jaws at the Drive-In last year. It was fucking awesome. To see that larger than life screen and see these old classics on there, it's so cool. Like, I pretty much watch anything in theaters.
Question.
Sure.
Would you have watched Hard to Be a God in theater?
I would have been much more interested.
Would it have been different? Yeah.
I would have been more alert. That's another thing. For some reason, no matter how tired I am, when I'm sitting in a theater, I perk up. You know what I mean? Like, they're like sitting at home watching.
Are you sitting on dildos?
Just one. Theater?
Okay.
Just one. Under the seat.
The new dildo aisle? That's
neither here nor there.
Okay. I was just curious. You said perked up when you sit in theater seats. Okay. So I didn't know if something was going up the bum or not.
When I'm sitting home, right? So especially with like Hard to Be a Guy. We watched it last night. Subtitles are easier to read on a bigger screen. That's just an inherent nature of the screen size. But and you go to pay to go to watch a movie. For the 2 hours, that's all you do. You don't check your fucking phone. You're not on a computer and Facebook. You're not making supper. You're sitting there watching. Huh. That's what I like about theater experiences. So I would have, 100%. If it came out in theaters at Railroad, I would go see it to get a better understanding. God, I would rather watch it. Huh?
I need to talk to him. Can you do a showing of this movie?
Can you make an honorary tribute to German?
I'll introduce it, but like...
3 hours later, the movie finally starts because August has been talking for 3 hours.
About this movie.
So yeah, that's why I go to theaters, and that's why it you know, as you guys may have known, when you guys write something, you have to fight to be productive. Like, your mind's always trying to jump, like, oh, all of a sudden you want to do fucking dishes and laundry. Like, no, you want to get your shit done. And so you have to force yourself, like, you know, like you said, if your TV's on the background, you can't focus. That's why I like theaters, because it cuts all that shit out.
Yeah.
Unless you have an asshole and a baby kid or something like that. But it's designed to keep you focused on one thing, which is good for my mind. I kind of get wandered easy.
But see, that's the thing, is I can do that at home.
I can sometimes.
But then again, when I watch a movie at home, if it's like my first time seeing a movie, and hell, even repeat viewings, I'm in my room, I wait till night, lights are off. If there's a lot of noise going outside, I live near a busy road, so I'm always hearing cars, or, you know, got the TV going on in a different room from roommate, and I throw on some headphones, and, you know, make sure I can't hear any outsideness, and I don't move until the movie's done.
Yeah, I don't go as far as the headphones, but if it's a movie I really want to see, and the computer's not going to be distracting me and shit like that, it's just... Like I said, a couple weeks ago, I was just like, movie night for myself, just snacks, soda, turn the lights out and just watch some films.
Yeah. And it's weird, too, because even last night, watched Hard to Be God, I didn't use my phone except for making notes. I still had a harder time because I was sitting on a comfortable couch. I was, you know, I wasn't sitting upright. You know, it was harder to read. So, like, that kind of stuff. Yeah, theater changes how I look at films because you pay to go in.
Well, I... paid you with my presence to watch Hard to Be a God.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We paid for it, Jimmy. I mean, right when the movie started, I was like, fuck, I have to read this? It's like 3 hours.
God. And as much as, like, John liked it, I gotta say this earlier, after the movie's done, he's like, thank Christ.
Oh, yeah. I think both of you said.
Yeah.
Or I know, I heard John say, thank God that's over.
Yeah.
Thank God.
But
the ending does kind of drag. Because you think it's done at the pool, and all of a sudden it's like, nope, time jump.
But so yeah, that's why I brought it up. I wanted to see what you guys thought about the theater experience, and
I do too. I except again if there's asshole kids or something, then which I gotta tell you one of the funniest stories. This was a long time. This is over 10 years. When did the first Incredible Hulk movie?
2003.
2003 came out. There's a really awesome theater in Canada.
Incredible Hulk or Hulk?
Hulk.
Okay.
In Edmonton. So I went with my buddy Paul, right? And we're sitting there. I was all excited. I loved the Hulk, you know, and even though the movie wasn't that great, but I was still psyched to see it. And, like, these three teenage girls came in and sat down right in front of us and would not shut the fuck up. Oh, they were just talking. They weren't even watching the movie. They're talking amongst themselves, yelling at people down the other aisles. They were meh, meh, meh. My buddy Paul did the greatest thing I'd ever seen in a theater. He just simply leaned over really slow and went, both of you, shut the fuck up. He's like, I didn't pay to hear you. I paid to hear the fucking movie. And then he just leaned back, and those girls were sat there silent and still for about 10 seconds. And then all three of them got up and left the theater. I was like, thank God. Every theater should have a Paul.
Paul. Yes. Just pay Paul to...
We can all be a Paul.
We can all be a Paul.
If we do make shirts, we could all be a Paul.
We'll be a Paul.
There's a little Paul in all of us.
You reminded me of my experience going and seeing Hulk.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, it actually brought the memory. It was a shitty experience. It wasn't really like that of really asshole people. It was just more about sitting in the theater. It was packed. We were in there like a little late, and we were front row and to the right. And that movie, when it gets to those moments where it's like
pitch dark.
Pitch dark, yeah. Ugh. It was like...
I couldn't see shit.
It's off to the side. And I'm just like, ugh.
Like, that used to suck. I remember those days, like, when theaters used to be packed all the time. Like, growing up in Fort Kent, we had that little theater.
Oh. Yeah.
Which is still there. But, I mean, I saw Back to the Future there, Karate Kid, E.T., all those classics. You would go there, you'd have to go, like, an hour early. Yeah. Because the line would be down the street, around the corner, just to get in there. And then, if you did get in late, you got stuck in one of those corner seats and couldn't see shit, you know, for, like, the whole time.
You know what? That's crazy. You're right. Like, I remember back in my childhood, there was a lot more movies that people would get packed in to go see out there. And now, it's, like, really just superhero movies. But then again, those are probably the only movies that I go when I see it.
And it's usually, like, opening night, too, you know?
Yeah.
Back then, it was, like, any night it was open because, you know, the only other option we had was VHS to rent. VHS tapes, which weren't many places to rent movies.
That's probably why, too. We have a lot more avenues to watch these.
Well, plus, yeah, it's 5 shows a day.
Yeah.
You try to funnel all those people into 2 shows, it's going to be fucking packed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, don't miss the line. That was a pain in the ass. No.
I kind of got used to it.
I don't miss all the people.
No, because I know you like to go... Jamie likes to go, like, when it's, like, packed, open night, if it's a really good movie. I prefer... I'm like, I'll wait till Monday afternoon. Just because I like having a quieter... Less people. Like Conjuring 2, I got the whole theater to myself. Oh, that's nobody was in there. It was awesome.
Perfect theater experience right there.
Yeah.
I have a great story. When I brought my friend Dan, I convinced him, this will be a funny movie. Let's go. And like, I can't remember what night of the week it was. I think it was a pretty busy night. Or maybe, I think, point is, it was a really bad movie. It was Norbit.
Oh boy!
I just want to go. This is really. I was like going to everything. I want to go see this. It looks funny. I'm like convincing myself just to go. And I was like going to go by myself. I didn't want to go by myself. So we went. We were the only two people in the theater the entire time. And we were.
Why?
It was kind of fun because we ended up like shitting on it as we were watching it. That was a good time.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
It was like our own personal like screening, like a interruption of it. But it was a good time. But. He's like, I hate you. I'll never want to talk to you for at least a week. Yeah, and he did, but it was just really funny how he just kind of, like, gave me shit every time. Yeah, so how going to go, how's that movie, Norbit?
I like how you had to add it in there. He did talk to me. He really didn't stop talking to me for a week.
I didn't say I had a friend. I said I have a friend. But, yeah, movie theaters can be distracting, but for the most part, that's the idea is to take away distractions. That's all I guess.
But sometimes, like you said, when you went with your buddy, sometimes it's fun because if the movie turns out to be really awful and everyone in the theater knows it's awful, then I used to like me and my buddies would just entertain people by commenting on it, like Mystery Science Theater, while we're watching. We did that with Batman and Robin. We just see Batman and Robin. We knew like 5 minutes into it, this is gonna be a walking fucking horrible disaster. So we just kept making comments throughout the whole thing and making the whole theater laugh. So we stayed for that reason.
Nice.
I don't think I've ever seen a movie that bad.
Really?
I guess talking about what makes you go to the theater or whatever is that for me to go to the theater, it has to be a movie that I'm like 99% sure that I'm going to really like it.
Okay.
For me to go to the theater and see it. Do I always end up liking it? No.
Definitely not.
Midnight Special?
Give you an answer right there.
I didn't care for Midnight Special. More recent one, like I think it's the most recent movie that I went and saw in the theater that I didn't like, and it was Embrace of the Serpent. Like, yeah, it was at Railroad, and it seemed kind of interesting, and it just turned out to be just like a really bad indie film. And I was just like, oh, this is horrible, and I was in there by myself.
I guess that's one risk with like being a fan of independent movies, that when they're bad, they're bad, bad. Mm-hmm. Most times it's not even like, we can make fun of this bad. It's just like, oh my
boring. God. The congressman looks great. Come on.
Well, I'm not saying they're not good. they're not good ones. Like,
oh, yeah.
But I'm just saying that, yeah, I've taken some chances on some independent movies, and I was just like, what the fuck am I watching? I mean, I can't even make fun of this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham. Fucking tiny furniture.
Francis Ha. I hate it so much. I know.
Sorry. Just because Greta Greenwick?
Gerwig?
Is fucking hot.
I don't even think she's that attractive sometimes. Because she's so fucking terrible. I hope she's not a terrible person in real life.
That's terrible.
I hope she's not a terrible person.
It's not worse than Tiny Furniture.
I haven't seen it.
See, you guys call me a hipster. You call me a hipster.
But?
Alright? But, watch the first 10 minutes of Tiny Furniture and tell me if I'm a fucking hipster.
I don't think you are in that regard. I heard it was pretty bad.
The dialogue made me...
All right, let's stop shitting.
Shoot myself.
Let's stop shitting on other people's work. yeah.
But so, Tiny Furniture is not a movie I'm going to go see in theater.
See, that's the thing. I don't think I'd see that movie either. Like, it's not like...
I know. I was trying to tie it in. It just wouldn't be me randomly shitting on Lena Dunham. And...
Well, now we are going to have John select the next communal movie for next week.
I don't even know what I want yet.
Oh, I thought you had one.
No, I have a couple. But...
But...
I was torn, because I know, especially August, has been waiting for Cemetery Man.
Hard to be a god, too.
No, this one's actually...
harder to be a god.
Hard to be a god, too, hard on. But I'm going with a different film.
Huh?
I'm going with one I rewatched recently to see if it was something I would want to do, and it's American Splendor,
Paul
Giamatti, about Harvey Pekar, who's a comic strip writer in the 60s, 70s, 80s, right around that area.
Okay.
And I rewatched it and I thought there's some really good stuff in there, really, that you guys, neither of you have seen it, right?
No.
So I think you guys will actually really enjoy it.
Cool.
So no big torture film this time.
Wow. I actually would have preferred Cemetery Man. But
I know you
would
have. Cemetery Man is awesome.
What? Did you say Jamie would enjoy Cemetery
Man? Oh, I think he would,
I think you would. Gonna be fun. I'm gonna enjoy. Think both of them. Yeah,
I have a thing against America. That's why I always choose foreign films for my communal film. But all right,
that
American
was
Splendor. That's gonna be splendid. A splendid watch.
Very good.
In America.
In America.
Where are you going with this?
In America.
Back when Paul Giamatti was at his height, though.
Yep.
Where I'm going with this, Jamie, is that next week, our listeners can have a splendid time listening to the Not Quite Hollywood podcast that is produced in America. And
in America by Americans.
For the first time in Not Quite Hollywood podcast history, our entire history, we will have a special guest.
We will?
We will?
Yeah. Paul Giamatti.
Shit.
He's going to be here?
Did you book Giamatti? We didn't know
I booked it. Giamatti.
Where is he going to sit?
He's apparently just going to lay in your bed.
All right.
Take photos. Proof.
But this is going to be big fat liar, Paul Giamatti. So he's going to be covered in blue ink, so.
Oh, what are you saying?
What are you alluding to?
He's probably going to blue all over your bed.
Okay.
Now that we've blatantly lied to our listeners.
Well, that Paul Giamatti.
Okay.
Like us on Facebook. Give us a conversation.
Jesus, all this shit again.
It's part of the process. If you want to start saying it.
I don't want to start saying
shut
it.
The
What's
fuck
our
up.
Email?
We need to say it.
notquitepod@gmail.com.
If you want to spam us.
Please.
Jamie likes dick pics.
Jamie.
Yep. And I'll forward them all to August.
And I'll rate them.
And we'll get him right back to you with a reading.
RateMyDick.com. forward slash not quite Hollywood.
That's our endorsement, you know? We're starting to get advertisers.
Right.
RateMyDick.com.
We're sponsored by, RateMyDick.com.
.org.
.org.
There's an org now?
It's an org. It's an organization.
Part of the deal is we all have to put our penises on there. Mine might be hard to find, but it's there, so
fuck.
Oh, don't forget my GoFundMe for a fleshlight.
Whoa!
I'll just buy you one, John.
You buy one?
Sure.
Nice.
I was going to say GoFundMe for a life, but...
Oof. Well, I can have more of a life if I had a fleshlight. I feel.
Well, I would have my more of a life if I had more money.
The funny thing is I could cut this all out and you wouldn't even know because you guys don't listen to the podcast.
Exactly. We don't. That's right. You
keep it all in.
Yeah.
I just need money to improve my life. I don't need any... I'll figure out what objects.
Sure.
Like, has anybody done that?
Stick your penis in?
A GoFundMe? Just, I want money?
I'm thinking of...
Do you think it's so ironic that people would actually donate?
People have done it.
Yeah.
And they fucking get money somehow.
Just be like, I just want some money.
Mm-hmm.
What if I did, like... First tier, $1. Then, like, second tier, $5.
Your reward is $1?
No. Just, like, dude, that's the tier. Kind of think of something. Okay. Like...
I'm thinking, conflating Kickstarter.
Yeah. Just some way to get me money.
Like, I can do, like, the tier for my fleshlight. If you donate $20, I'll think about you when I use it.
Oh,
John, shit. John's a single man, so he's telling me about this fleshlight, and I don't feel like it's a joke. I feel
I
like
am
it's
very
real.
Much. I've said it before. How come women can have sex toys and it's perfectly normal? Kevin Smith was a
big supporter of fleshlight. Women are never satisfied with a male penis.
Guys are easy.
Guys are easy.
Guys are
horny all the time.
Yeah.
It's testosterone.
Men will put their penises in between mattresses just for the first time.
As stupid kids.
As kids, do you still do it?
You kidding me? Are you kidding me? No, I don't do it. I'm not doing it. But you know, there are probably still people that still do it to this day.
I'm sure there's people
adults.
That put their dicks everywhere.
Yeah, ratemydick.com.
Not in no respect.
Like our penises on there. And follow us on Facebook, Not Quite Hollywood. Email us at notquitepod@gmail.com if you have any questions, if you have any suggestions.
Follow me around in your car.
Stalk us.
Yep.
Please.
He lives on.
Hold us hostage.
Yep.
Ransom.
And subscribe. Share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to have more than 15 subscribers.
That would be
Thank
nice.
Thank you.
I'm fucking hungry, so let's go.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you all.
Bye. I don't.